Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to join us. I'm going to take a minute at the start of the program today, and I tweeted out some information. Roger Ailes, the former CEO, chairman, Fox News Channel, the creator of the Fox News Channel, passed away early this morning, and I just have so much to say. You know, if you enjoy the Fox News Channel, I heard my friend John Scott say this. I think me, John Scott, and Neil Cavuto are like the only original Fox News people that were there from day one. I don't know. Are there others? I can't really put it together. I don't think there were others. We're like the three, you know, remaining. Maybe that's why I have such a big target. I'm getting rid of Hannity now, and the place will be so much better. And I just want to say something. I want to read to you what I tweeted out this morning. One thing I will say, and I anticipated this, I told this to Linda. I knew he was in a tough, precarious medical condition. I've known it for about a little less than a week now. And, you know, and it's you just hope and you pray and you look for miracles. And you know, there was moments in time that I thought that things would get better. And it wasn't meant to be. He had an amazing life and career, almost second to none. But I just want to tell you my personal story with him. And I tweeted out today that he's one of America's great patriotic warriors. I am such a stronger fighter today. And by the way, I have a big message about all of my irredeemable, deplorable friends out there. If you want what you voted for in November and the agenda that you voted for to stop America's precipitous decline, you better understand that the deep state is now doing all they can to destroy this president. You better understand the media, they've gone way beyond trying to delegitimize Donald Trump into a category is they just are trying to destroy the presidency of Donald Trump. You got these five groups, the deep state, the media, Democrats. They've been unhinged since Hillary lost. They've never gotten over it. Been screaming for impeachment from day one. By the way, Maxine Waters is out there today with a new conspiracy theory. The Trump rally chant of lock her up came from Vladimir Putin. That's what she actually said today. I mean, it's beyond the pale what's being said and propagated as truth by the left. But truth doesn't matter when you're trying to destroy somebody. So you got the deep state, you got the media, you got unhinged Democrats, then you got weak Republicans, the same people like, oh, we can't get blamed for a government shutdown. Let's not use our power of the purse. You're going to get mad at us and we might lose the election and everything. So you got that group of people. Then you got the never Trumpers that have been dying to write my obituary and the obituary of every irredeemable deplorable in the country. And so it's a real clear present danger. So when I say that Roger was one of the great patriotic warriors, he was. And if you enjoy the Fox News Channel, and if you've enjoyed it, now I'm in my 22nd year, it started in October 1996, well, he is the one that made that happen, along with Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch funded it and gave Roger Ailes the keys to run the whole thing. And he was able to change forever media in this country. And when you think of his life, here's a guy that came from Ohio, small town in Ohio, worked hard growing up. He and I used to compare notes on the types of jobs we used to do when we were young. And for now 5 decades, he has impacted American politics and media. Politics and media will never be the same. And I said he single-handedly changed it for the better. And I ask you, just do a little experiment in your mind. What would the media landscape look like today were it not for the Fox News Channel? Look at all the fake news, made-up news, conspiracy news that we see 24/7. And he saw a void. He saw how conservatives were treated. And he wanted to fill that void and say, you know what? There are two sides of an argument. And give voices to people like me. You know, do you think CNN's ever going to hire me? Probably not. Think MSNBC's knocking down my door? No. An interesting side note. I've never told the stories, Linda, about big broadcast companies that have come after me to do certain jobs over the years, and I've declined straight up. I mean, with big offers. You know what I'm talking about. That would replace household names. Well, let's not talk about that. That's actually a pretty long time in the past. But the media landscape in this country will never, has now forever been changed because of his vision. The political landscape in this country, going back to his years with Richard Nixon, his years with Ronald Reagan, his years with the Bushes, his years as the CEO and chairman of the Fox News Channel. Few people in life will ever reach this very deep, profound level of impact on media, on politics, than Roger Ailes has made. And, you know, I said this morning, I said, you know, his opponents in media played checkers. I'm not even sure they played checkers. Maybe they played, you know, chutes and ladders. Because it was, for him, it was like there were putty in his hands, and he drove them nuts. And he knew it, and he loved it. And he was the master chess player, always the strategist. He was, you know, 15, 20 steps ahead. I said 5 early, but he really was so far ahead of them. It was amazing to watch this man. There are very few people in my life. I can name 3 of them. And I'll just name him to now because it's a tribute to him. He had another dimension of thought that normal people don't have. And when you would sit around this man, and he used to love to hold court, and you'd sit there, and I used to, I figured out very early on that I should go to his meetings with him with a pen and a piece of paper because I'm going to get 5 nuggets that are going to make me look brilliant. And that's how our meetings went. And we'd laugh, and we'd joke, and we'd talk about our families, and we'd talk about politics, and we'd talk about good and evil, and we'd gossip, and we'd do it all. And he had this ability that only 3 people in my life have I ever seen have. It's like they've got another dimension, another level where they see things at a level we don't see. And then they have the ability to communicate it to you. And then you're thinking to yourself, I'm pretty dumb. Why didn't I think of that? I wish I thought of that. I want to say something on a personal note. I'm now in my 22nd year at the Fox News Channel. Now I'm my 30th year in radio. And if it were not for Roger Ailes, I would not be the person I am today. You probably wouldn't know who I am. If I wasn't doing radio anymore, if I got beaten up in the local radio business, which happened to a lot of very talented, good people that I know in their lives, and I feel it's very outliers-ish, and the timing was great, and God bless me more than I ever deserved, and that's just a fact. But in 1996, I was a local radio host in Atlanta, and I had done a TV show Sunday nights. My buddy Tim Simpson in Memphis, he's the weatherman there, he put me on a sort of debate show Sunday nights at the CBS affiliate in Huntsville, Alabama, Channel 19. And then I moved to Atlanta, and CNN was always desperate for guests. And so they had this 1 o'clock show. Remember Susan Rook did it? I get off the air at noon, and they would constantly say, Hannity, why don't you come over? We have an empty seat again. I mean, somebody canceled. I was not their first choice to book. And so often, just talk back live show, I would go there and I'd take over the show. Just do my thing. They were arguing in the Newt years, because that's when Newt became speaker. I was there from 92 to 96. And the angry white male election. Sound familiar? Things haven't really changed a whole lot. The day O.J. Simpson was arrested, I was on with Dr. Sonia Friedman, with me and Tavis Smiley. And all of a sudden, I said, he should be a suspect. Look at his past. Look at his history. Look at this. Look at that. And she goes, Mr. Hannity, just because you say it doesn't make that true. CNN breaking news. The arrest of O.J. Simpson is imminent. I'm like, hello, just told you that. And then for the next 5 hours, I think it was Natalie Allen who was hosting at the time. Very nice woman. And they needed me and Tavis. We were on there for hours. You know, handling their coverage. And somebody walked me down, a senior vice president interested in me, but Ted Turner heard my name, and I'm sure he said, forget him, or whoever was in charge. So in 1996, while I was in Atlanta as a local radio guy, he took a chance on a young, inexperienced local radio talk show host. And I'll be honest, to this day, I scratch my wooden conservative head and I say, why? I still don't know how I got chosen for this. And I was hired. And then I was so bad when I started. I have no idea. I would ask him, why didn't you fire me? I was awful. God awful. You should have fired me. And he said, no, I knew you would get it. I knew it would kick in. And then when I talked to him more recently, he told me how proud he was of all that I'd accomplished. Meant a lot to me. And with little TV experience, I'm hired. By the way, if you want to see how bad I was, you can Google it. It's out there. I mean, anytime I look at those tapes, I am humbled. I'm on my knees squinting and cringing. It's so bad. But the point is that Roger had this uncanny ability. He saw something in me at that point in my life that I didn't see in myself. And many of my colleagues at Fox feel the same way. He saw something in them that maybe they didn't see in their lives. And the net result of it is he positively changed the trajectory of thousands of people's lives and created so many thousands of jobs for so many people because of his vision. And I said it this morning and I'll repeat it. My father died 6 months after I started at Fox. I started October 96 and my father died in March of 97. And he became like a second father to me. With advice, support. He never called and said, oh, your ratings suck. He didn't ever once comment on ratings to me, ever. Your ratings are great today. I never got that call either. And he always knew that I was driven. He'd give me tips to be better. Usually if I did something stupid, he'd say, that was stupid. I'd say, you're right. And I'd say, I'm sorry. And then we'd move on. That was the end of it. One of the funniest people I've ever met. Great energy, enthusiasm, wit, raw instinctive intelligence. And I'm going to miss him. And my thoughts and prayers go out to his wife. She's lovely, Beth Ailes. I talked to his son the other day, Zachary Ailes, a great kid, 17 years old. This is not going to be easy for him. And I also said something else, and it's not happening, and I knew it wasn't going to happen. I said, you know, it'd be nice if the media and the left would just leave him and his family alone in their time of grief. But I knew people, and he knew it too, that hated his politics and hated what he did, creating the Fox News channel, hated him. And then I said, all right, for all you people that are going to be mean today, remember, all have sinned and fallen short. None of us are perfect. Go ahead, cast the first stone. And then I said to them, but I want you to know I know Roger well. And Roger right now is in a better place, saying, I've got the advantage because he now has a head start and he's where he is preparing to kick some serious ass when these other people get there. That's the man he was, a fighter. I'm a better person because of him. I'm appreciative of all he's given me. And he's going to be sorely missed. It's a sad day for me. 800-941-SEAN.
I know two things about you. You believe in objective, absolute truth. There's such a thing as black and white, not just shades of gray. And when it comes to politics, you like to think, not emote. But do you think like this when it comes to ethics, religion, and morality? Check out a podcast for thinking conservatives, Issues, etc. IssuesETC.net. When you surf the web tonight, check out IssuesETC.net.
You want the agenda you voted for? Irredeemable? Deplorables? Well, you better pay attention because there are powerful groups aligning against the president to stop him and stop his agenda. Hey, listen, I sleep better than ever. It's amazing how a pillow has changed my life for the better. And, of course, I'm talking about MyPillow, the inventor of MyPillow, Mike Lindell. I now fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and now you can, too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Just use the promo code Hannity. You'll get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You'll get 40% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, it works. I don't know. It's just so comfortable. It works. It's made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, a 10-year warranty. Now, if you want, you can spend sleepless nights staring at a ceiling with a pillow that's not working for you. Or just go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity. You get Mike Lindell's special four-pack, and that means you get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 40% off. Those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep-healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving for years, and you certainly deserve MyPillow.com. This is how insane the left is getting. Maxine Waters, just when you thought, you know, you couldn't dive any deeper into the tinfoil hat conspiracy land. Well, this is the latest wacko conspiracy theory. According to the Democratic Party's leading impeachment advocate, Vladimir Putin himself actually came up with the phrase, lock her up, gave it to the Trump campaign, all in an effort to collude and defeat Hillary Clinton. Now, I don't want to unnerve, you know, the left any further here, but when was the last meeting of the vast right-wing conspiracy? Did they actually now hand out tinfoil hats and sit in front of a television waiting for Martians to come down and you know, rip Donald Trump off the podium and take him away because they don't like him? And he apparently was on the favorite conspiracy network in the country right now, which is MSNBC. And she said, you know, that the idea that Donald Trump, for him to call her crooked and encourage crowds to chant lock her up, that's a play from Putin's playbook. Yeah, I really do believe that much of what you saw coming out of Trump's mouth was a play from Putin's playbook. I think when you saw him absolutely calling Hillary crooked, the lock her up, all of that was developed.
I think it was developed strategically with people from the Kremlin and Vladimir himself, Putin. You know, Putin did it.
You want the Russian conspiracy? How about Hillary Clinton signing off as Secretary of State, allowing 20% of America's uranium into the hands of Putin? And all the people around the deal, Gustra and the likes of them in Canada, you know, she signed the waiver allowing that to happen. No waiver, 20% of America's uranium, the foundational material for nuclear weapons, not in Putin's hands. And millions and millions and millions and millions go to the Clinton Foundation. And Bill gets to double his speech in Moscow. That sounds like the real conspiracy. All right, you want what you voted for in November? People want to stop it from ever happening. How you can fight back next.
I am talking about strategies that were developed working with the Trump campaign. I really do believe that much of what you saw coming out of Trump's mouth was a play from Putin's playbook. I think that when you saw him absolutely calling Hillary crooked, lock her up, all of that was developed. I think that was developed strategically with people from the Kremlin, with Putin, and I think it's more than bank records. I think that you can see that visits, you know, to Moscow were made during the campaign by Manafort and others. I think it's a lot more absolute.
So you think the Russian government developed the talking points for the Trump campaign?
I think that there was a cooperation in developing strategy about how they could ensure that Hillary Clinton was not elected. They need Trump. Trump will be there to support lifting those sanctions. That's what they really want to happen.
Okay. Conspiracy theory, TV, and politics. The two biggest threats that I see are the deep state against the president, because their leaking is unprecedented and bordering on unhinged. And if the deep state can do that to a president, there is no privacy anymore in America. It won't exist. Now, the second issue that we have is, let me give you some of the hysteria in the media as it relates to. Now, remember, Washington Post got a lot of stories wrong. The deputy attorney general's, you know, he was threatened to quit. Washington Post last week, wrong. Well, then we got the story, well, Comey wanted more money. McNabe, we have plenty of money. Wrong again, Washington Post. And then we got the other story that, well, according to sources in and outside the White House, they leak secrets to the Russians. You know, the people in the room say that didn't happen. Then you got the New York Times story. I mean, it just never ends. So the two biggest threats are the deep state, the intelligence leaking, and the second big one definitely has to do with the media. Just listen.
Welcome back. You're watching MSNBC. I'm Stephanie Ruhle. The calls are growing for the ouster of President Trump. Another member of Congress wants him impeached.
Is that potentially impeachable if it's an obstruction of justice?
I think we're going to have to look into it a little bit further. Well,
you were saying that this could lead down the road to impeachment, but we weren't anywhere near that yet. Does this breaking news tonight change your view on that?
Are we getting closer and closer to the possibility of yet another impeachment process?
Reluctantly, Wolf, I have to say yes.
Is it an impeachable offense if, in fact, the president obstructed justice?
So in terms of impeachment, are you taking action, working with Republicans, or doing anything that would actually move that agenda forward?
Do you harbor any hopes that you will find a conservative legal mind to match your desire to proceed with impeachment?
I think he can be looked at and perhaps even charged with obstruction of justice. I think that.
So you mean impeachment proceedings?
I beg your pardon?
You mean impeachment proceedings? Impeachment originates in the House. House leadership and the Republican Party has shown no interest in that and seems like it's the furthest thing from their mind. You think that's going to change?
Are you suggesting that President Trump should face impeachment?
No, I'm not suggesting that.
Saying that the evidence they're looking at right now, if they get it, is serious business. This is going to be an obstruction of justice charge, an article of impeachment, basically.
Congressman, what is your case for impeachment?
But now we're talking impeachment. Do you think this is a bridge too far?
Yeah, what do you think of this impeachment possibility? What's more needed to prove obstruction of justice than the president fires the guy coming after him after asking to drop the case? What more do you need?
Is that the impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't.
It's the only remedy.
Yeah.
There's growing talk, at least, about impeachment within your party. You have Congresswoman Maxine Waters, you have Congressman Al Green, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, all talking about impeachment for this president.
You heard Jeffrey Toobin say it would be an obstruction of justice, and potentially, as you know, Senator, that could be impeachable. That could be an impeachable offense.
I must say, I was in the Nixon administration, as you know, and I thought after watching the Clinton impeachment, I thought I'd never see another one. But I think we're in impeachment territory now.
Really?
For the first time.
The word impeachment has been brought to the fore, and I have heard it come out of your mouth. On what grounds are you concerned that we might need to use that word?
We already nailed down the fact he fired the guy afterwards for not playing ball with him. There's a lot of evidence here. It seems to me it would take a reasonable person in the direction of perhaps wanting more information, but clearly we're on the trail there to an impeachment.
Ah, there it is. So you got the deep state in their leaks. Let me tell you how this works in the intelligence community. The intelligence community works in very various ways. You got all the world's intelligence community, and there's actually a cooperative exchange between intelligence agencies a lot of people don't really talk about. And I talked to some really, really knowledgeable sources recently. And my knowledgeable sources are saying, let me tell you how it really works. Yeah, because you have a Fourth Amendment. You can't violate the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure, and you need either a FISA court warrant or you need a warrant to surveil somebody. But let me tell you how it works. Other intelligence agencies, because it's legal for our intelligence community to actually surveil, like in the case of Michael Flynn, the Russian ambassador or the Chinese ambassador or the Iranian whoever. And that's actually their job. And thank God they do it, because it's an evil, dark world we live in. And we need people out there that are defending against evil. And we need to know what enemies of ours are up to. It just makes sense. But I'm told it's fairly well known within the intelligence community that, let's say, they're interested in phone calls that certain Americans make. Maybe they're close to Donald Trump. Or text messages that people make, and maybe they're close to Donald Trump. Or emails that people send, and maybe they're close to Donald Trump. That maybe other spy agencies from other countries, they surveil the Americans. And maybe, like, we have metadata storage that Bill Binney talked about in Salt Lake City. Remember, he says every email, text, phone call you make is stored, every one of them. By the way, it's interesting technology. They actually, as you talk on the phone, they have technology now that literally transcribes you in real time transcripts. And it's then when the intelligence community needs to get it, they have ways of getting it. And they actually have a search database, phone number, individual, name, location. There's all sorts of things that they can do. It's actually, from a defensive posture standpoint, I'm glad we have it. If it's going to be abused against the president of the United States or General Flynn is going to be unmasked and they're going to leak that raw intelligence to the media and his life and career are ruined, that's a problem. And if they're going to go after Rand Paul and other presidential candidates and other members of Congress, that's a problem. Or if there's a 600% increase like we saw and has been reported on by Circa.com and Sarah Carter and John Solomon in election season, and it appears that under the guise of, quote, national security, they're really using tools for national security to spy and usurp constitutional rights of Americans or political opponents in an election year. There's a 600% increase. And that's a problem, because then you're moving towards a police state. And that means they can get data on anybody and blackmail anybody they want. We got this. We got this. We got this. Well, it seems to be happening because we keep getting these deep state intelligence leaks. And you got the media. They take it. They run with it. They don't care where it comes from. They don't even care if it's true. Pretty unbelievable times we're living in. By the way, Linda, check out media. I just tweeted this out. I don't know if you saw it. You follow my Twitter that close? You do follow it that closely, don't you?
I do. I mean, I'm on Twitter right now. I'll go look at you.
Oh, you're going to go look at me?
Well, right now I was listening to you, which is my primary job.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Then on the commercial breaks, I see what you're doing when you're not looking at me.
So the headline is Twitter mocks Sean Hannity's call for decency amid Seth Rich controversy. I think I need to respond to this. And Sean Hannity took to Twitter Thursday to criticize the media for the negative coverage. I said it would be nice if the media would leave Roger and his family alone. I was talking about Roger Ailes, who passed away, and their time of grief. But knowing people as they are, I just knew it wasn't going to happen, and it didn't. You want to see vile hatred on display? Read some of the commentary in some of these articles. It's vicious. And what have we played on this program? Jason, rack this up. Here's a 27-year-old kid that was murdered, shot in the back. We've been told it's a robbery. Well, it's a robbery where they didn't take his wallet, his watch, or his phone. That doesn't sound like a robbery to me. That sounds like a hit. Then I asked Julian Assange in my many interviews, was it the Russians, which we keep hearing? This is what he said.
Our source is not the Russian government.
So in other words, let me be clear. Russia did not give you the Podesta documents or anything from the DNC.
That's correct.
Now, my guess is when Julian Assange went on Danish TV, and I'm just guessing here, he probably didn't mean to say all of what he said here. Now, WikiLeaks does have a history of being right for 11 consecutive years, never proven wrong, not one time. Now, the way I interpret this is Julian Assange is kind of saying here, that Seth Rich may very well be the source of WikiLeaks. Now, remember, the WikiLeaks on Podesta on the eve of the Democratic convention came out 12 days after Seth was killed. Now, listen to what Julian Assange said in this Dutch interview.
Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources
are. But why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States and that our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. So, that's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that we are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it. And more importantly, a variety of WikiLeaks sources are concerned when that kind of thing happens.
Now, I'm allowed to have my opinion. And my opinion is that if somebody's committing a robbery and you shoot somebody in the back and you leave their watch, their wallet, and their phone, that what we are being told is a lie. I don't believe that. That's my opinion. And actually, I'm concerned. And more as I get deeper into this, and then you hear Julian Assange, our whistleblowers take significant risks. They take significant efforts. And our sources, you know, are taking these risks. And, you know, he's talking about a 27-year-old kid that was shot in the back and it wasn't a robbery. No finding. Now, then there was another story that we had discussed at the time about, well, a possible handoff in a wooded area near American University. And I asked him about that. I played it yesterday. I don't have time to play it now. Now, you guys at Mediaite, that's a really cheap, unfair headline. And I don't care. Twitter can mock me to death. There's no similarity. But this was not a robbery from my point of view. And if you guys think it's a robbery, then explain why they didn't take the watch, the wallet, and the phone. And here's another point. If, in fact, Julian Assange is, my guess is he regrets saying that, is kind of revealing it was him, and this is what the media needs to understand, if there's a disgruntled anybody in the DNC and they saw the internal documents that robbed Bernie Sanders of the nomination and the amount of collusion and cheating that went on against him and all the WikiLeaks dump that resulted in Debbie Wasserman Schultz and six others canned on the eve of this, and you don't think that this is something that we ought to investigate, well, then apparently I care more about why this kid was murdered than you do. You know, why isn't a member of, you know, why didn't they offer a reward? Julian Assange did. You know, why is a case that is not open and shut being treated as open and shut? Did Seth Rich have a computer? And if he did, where is it? And I think that perhaps all of you that are saying these things, you might regret it when more information comes out. I'll take your apology whenever you're willing to give it. And by the way, Twitter can mock away. Go right ahead. I hope and pray. I pray for this kid, this family, but I don't believe this story about robbery for one second. And I don't like being lied to. And the family shouldn't like being lied to. That's their business. I pray for them. I pray for their loss. I pray for this 27-year-old kid should be around today. There's something very nefarious going on here. And a lot of lies seem to be being told. Explain how that's a robbery to me in your estimation. Anybody on the left want to call in and tell me? 800-941-SEAN. Call now. I'll put you at the top of the list. All right, the president took to the podium. I think he's with the, is it the president of Colombia? I believe the president. Okay, and the opening statements are really not that interesting. And I guess they're going to turn this into a little bit of a news conference. I guess the special counsel will be there. So what is the word? Are we getting the one-minute drill yet? What are we getting?
We got it, boss.
Oh, we got it. Okay, let's go to it.
Well, the president's not there yet, but the vice president and all of the crew and the faculty are sitting down.
My TV is on delay in here, and for whatever reason, it keeps changing channels on me.
Fake news.
All right, let me tell you one other thing. I want to move on to the Comey issue for just a second now that we have Robert Mueller. All right, the president is taken to the podium.
President now being joined by Juan Manuel Santos, the president of Colombia, for a joint, and we're told what will be a brief sharing of words.
It is a great pleasure to welcome President Santos to the White House. Colombia is one of our closest allies in the hemisphere, and today we reaffirm partnership between our two great nations. President Santos and I had a very productive meeting, and we will continue to work very closely together to bring peace, safety, and prosperity to the hemisphere. Perhaps no area is really more important in terms of cooperation than our joint effort to end the terrible drug crimes that plague both of our countries. Recently, we have seen an alarmed, and I mean really a very highly alarmed and alarming trend. Last year, Colombia cocoa cultivation and cocaine production reached a record high, which hopefully will be remedied very quickly by the president. We must confront this dangerous threat to our societies together. Today, I affirm the United States' willingness to assist Colombia's strategy to target and eliminate drug trafficking networks, illicit financings, cocoa cultivation, and cocaine production, of which there is far too much. The drug epidemic is poisoning too many American lives, and we're going to stop it. Many different ways, one of them will be the wall. My administration is committed to keeping drugs and gangs from pouring into our country. Already, border crossings are down more than 73%. Secretary Kelly is with us. He's done a fantastic job. Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. And in short, we have a tremendous group of people working with us in terms of ICE, the ICE Patrol, and the Border Patrol agents. They've done a fantastic job, and I'd like you to give them my highest compliments, Mr. Secretary. And MS-13, likewise, a horrible, horrible, large group of gangs that have been led into our country over a fairly short period of time are being decimated by the Border Patrol, by ICE, and by our incredible local police forces. And they are getting out of our country or, in some cases, going directly into prisons throughout our country. But they've literally taken over towns and cities of the United States. They will be gone very quickly. I look forward to working with President Santos as we target drug trafficking. Both the United States and Colombia have strong law enforcement and security relationship. We've had it, and especially over the last fairly short period of time. Together, we will continue to fight the criminal networks responsible for the deadly drug trade that our people have a really strong commitment to getting rid of, because they want a much brighter future. President Santos and I also discussed the deteriorating situation in Venezuela, and it is really in a very bad state, as you see, and as we all see through the media. The stable and peaceful Venezuela is in the best interest of the entire hemisphere, and America stands with all of the people in our great hemisphere yearning to be free. We will be working with Colombia and other countries on the Venezuelan problem. It is a very, very horrible problem, and from a humanitarian standpoint, It is like nothing we've seen in quite a long time. The United States and Colombia are also strong economic partners, and we will continue to pursue trade policies that benefit both of our peoples. The nation's common goals of protecting our citizens, expanding opportunity, and confronting the drug crisis will improve the lives of our people and many throughout the region. So many people are being so horribly affected by what's going on in terms of violence and in terms of drugs, and we're going to take care of the situation, and we've both agreed to take care of it strongly and quickly. President Santos, it was an honor to meet with you and your entire group of representatives, very talented people indeed, who have been working with us and my representatives. And I look forward to many more productive meetings, such as the one we just had. I'd like to thank you very much for being at the White House, being our guest. And I'd like to congratulate you on winning the Nobel Peace Prize. It's a very great achievement. Thank you very much.
Warm and productive visit, and for the strong support Colombia has received from your administration, from Congress, and from the American people. Como usted sabe, nuestras naciones han tenido por mucho tiempo.
Our nations have had
una alianza
for a long time, a strategic alliance, an extraordinary friendship.
Creemos en los mismos
we believe in the same principles of democracy, freedom, and the rule of law. And we work so that the Western Hemisphere can be more prosperous and safe. The United States and Colombia, both democracies of greater and longer standing in the hemisphere, we have supported each other. Our soldiers fight shoulder to shoulder in the Korean War. At the request of the United States, we sent anti-drug experts to Afghanistan. And today, Colombia and the United States are working together to support Central America in their fight against drug cartels and the violence of organized crime. I can say, Mr. President, based on our conversation this afternoon, that I have no doubt that the United States and Colombia continue to be today, more than ever, a support one for the other. Our alliance was strengthened. Our most valuable cooperation has been Plan Colombia, which I can sum up in very simple terms. When Colombians were fighting to survive, for our democracy to survive, actually, faced with the threat of terrorism and drug trafficking, the United States stretched out a hand and helped us win that battle. We will never forget it. Today we live in a different country. Today Colombia is a more peaceful society, a more modern and a fairer society. In November last year, we ended the longest and last armed conflict existing in our hemisphere. The guerrilla is putting down weapons at this precise time to the United Nations. Insecurity has gone down significantly. Today we have the lowest levels of violence of the last 40 years. At the same time, we have had significant progress for our citizens on issues such as education, housing, health, and social services. Millions of Colombians have been lifted out of poverty. Today, we continue next to you as partners in Peace Colombia to consolidate peace in the most affected areas. With the robust support of your government, we are removing thousands of anti-personnel mines that murdered and mutilated children, women, and soldiers. We are healing the wounds of our victims, and we are embarking on a big social development program. Such as we said today, we are working with your administration to take advantage of the unique opportunity peace offers so as to reduce permanently the production of coca leaf in Colombia and fight more effectively the other links in drug trafficking, including consumption. We must continue and deepen the fight against organized crime, transnational crime, responsible not just for drug trafficking, but also for human trafficking and illegal mining. Our shared agenda, framed within a high-level dialogue that we Colombians value so much, includes cooperation, which has allowed us to have unprecedented progress towards quality education for everyone. And this is a priority.
All right, we're going to take a little early break here and then see if they do a little Q&A. It's the president of Colombia, 800-941. Sean is our toll-free telephone number. There might be a couple of questions, they said, but not a lot. Still have a lot of news we got to get to at the bottom of the hour. Jay Sekulow, David Limbaugh is coming in studio, and Danielle McLaughlin. We're going to talk about Robert Mueller as the special counsel. But all right, let's get to the Q&A, a little bit of the Q&A session they got going on, the Colombian president and Donald Trump.
Mr. President, I'd like to get your reaction to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's decision to appoint a special counsel to investigate the Russian interference in the campaign. Was this the right move, or is this part of a witch hunt?
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country. I think we have a very divided country because of that and many other things. So I can tell you that we want to bring this great country of ours together, John. And I will also say very strongly, we've had tremendous success. You look at our job numbers. You look at what's going on at the border, as we discussed before. You look at what will be happening. You're going to see some incredible numbers with respect to the success of General Mattis and others with the ISIS situation. The numbers are staggering, how successful they've been, the military has been. Tomorrow, as you know, I'm going to Saudi Arabia, I'm going to Israel, I'm going to Rome, and we have the G7. We have a lot of great things going on. So I hate to see anything that divides. I'm fine with whatever people want to do, but we have to get back to running this country really, really well. We've made tremendous progress in the last 100 and some odd days, tremendous progress. And you see job numbers, you see all of the production that's starting, plants starting to open again, haven't been open in years. I'm very proud of it. That's what I want to be focused on, because believe me, there's no collusion. Russia is fine, but whether it's Russia or anybody else, my total priority, believe me, is the United States of America. So thank you very much.
President Trump, President Santos, can we say that today we are setting a new roadmap in the relationship between Colombia and the United States? Which are the concrete commitments? You were talking about the post-conflict time. Many funds are needed for that. And on the issue of Venezuela, President Trump, many deaths, human rights violations. There's plenty to be done.
As well as a very, very serious problem. We haven't really seen a problem like that, I would say, Mr. President, in decades, in terms of the kind of violence that we're witnessing. The president was telling me, and I knew, that Venezuela was a very, very wealthy country, just about the wealthiest in your neck of the woods, and had tremendous strengths in so many different ways. And now it's poverty-stricken. People don't have enough to eat. People have no food. There's great violence. And we will do whatever is necessary, and we'll work together to do whatever is necessary to help with fixing that. And I'm really talking on a humanitarian level. When you look at the oil reserves that they have, when you look at the potential wealth that Venezuela has, you sort of have to wonder, why is that happening? How is that possible? But it's been unbelievably poorly run for a long period of time. And hopefully that will change.
All right, there you hear the president talking with the Colombian president about drugs and energy and his success and taking on the issue of Russia head on. And we're going to continue to monitor it. If there's anything worthwhile said, we'll do it. We're going to run the rest of the presser and the break on Hannity.com if you want to go there. We have to get to, when we get back, the appointment of Robert Mueller. You know, the president's right. All the crimes of Hillary, all the corruption in Obama, and seriously, no special counsel, but Trump gets one. There's no double standard in Washington, is there? Anyway, we'll get to that. Jay Sekulow, David Limbaugh in studio, Danielle McLaughlin, our news roundup information overload, Rick Unger and Jonathan Gillum. And is the tax cuts coming? House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Congressman Kevin Brady.
I think the American people want to know, has the dismissal of Mr. Comey in any way impeded, interrupted, stopped, or negatively impacted any of the work, any investigation, or any ongoing projects at the Federal Bureau of Investigations?
The work of the men and women of the FBI continues despite any changes in circumstance, any decisions. So there has been no effort to impede our investigation today.
So if the Attorney General or senior officials at the Department of Justice opposes a specific investigation, can they halt that FBI investigation?
In theory, yes.
Has it happened?
Not in my experience, because it would be a big deal to tell the FBI to stop doing something that, without an appropriate purpose. I mean, we're oftentimes, they give us opinions that we don't see a case there, and so you ought to stop investing resources in it. But I'm talking about a situation where we were told to stop something for a political reason. That would be a very big deal. It's not happened in my experience.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, so we have a special counsel, Robert Mueller, Comey's predecessor, James Comey's predecessor at the FBI from 2001 to 13, a lengthy and close and controversial history that he has apparently with James Comey. Once called Comey one of the finest people I've ever met. And yet the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, made the decision to appoint him as a special counsel. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea, but I'm a little concerned about his close relationship to Comey in light of the events that led to Comey's firing and whether or not that could somehow take away his objectivity in all of this. Comey saying, as we just played, I was never pressured to end an investigation. Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director, testifying that there has been no effort to impede the Russia investigation since Comey's firing. Then we had the president earlier today, rightly so, saying, you know, hey, this is the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history, because there's been no evidence that has been presented to this point that anybody can cite. And he rightly makes a comparison with all the illegal acts that we know took place in the Clinton campaign, the Obama administration. They never appointed a special counsel. Never happened. Anyway, here to sort through this, Jay Sekulow is the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. David Limbaugh, author of the latest New York Times bestseller, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. Danielle McLaughlin, constitutional attorney, and wrote the book, The Federalist Society, How Conservatives Took the Law Back from Liberals. Jay Sekulow, I'll start with you. I didn't know last night about this relationship that Mueller had with Comey, and it concerns me now.
Well, they had a professional relationship, but I wouldn't read anything into it. There is no
one of the finest people I've ever met.
Well, I mean, look, this is I'm coming to you from Washington. This is Washington. So, look, I said this when it was this should alleviate the media hysteria surrounding a non-story, because Mueller is a guy that will just look at the facts. Remember, he's not a special prosecutor. It's a special counsel. It's inside the Justice Department. This is not some Ken Starr Whitewater matter. So we're not dealing with that era, and we're not dealing with that law. That law expired. So while I don't think it was necessary, I don't think it was required, there's been no indication that there's been any legal violations here. And if I was on the left, I'd be a little concerned where Bob Mueller may end up going. Mueller may end up going and looking at some things like the uranium deal that you mentioned frequently, Sean. Now, that was a Russia business transaction.
That was the biggest Russia collusion deal ever, and it was pay to play, and the Clinton Foundation got millions and millions of dollars, and Vladimir Putin got 20% of America's uranium.
Right. So this is the reality of what we live with in Washington. Do I think it was necessary? No. Do I think it's bad news for the White House? No, I don't.
All right, let me bring in David Limbaugh here. David, does it concern you, the comments of Mueller, that Comey is one of the finest people he ever met, or should we give him the benefit of the doubt? And, you know, anytime you get a benefit of the doubt, boy, it always ends up burning conservatives. Why do I always feel that way?
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous, but it's okay for him to say what he said. Personally, Andy McCarthy, our friend, has said Comey was a great guy when he worked with him, but he radically disagrees with some of the things he's done. So I think Mueller will be professional. My concern is, I agree with Jay that this could, in theory, alleviate media hysteria. But the problem is we have an adversary or an agenda-oriented media, and they're going to try to continue to undermine Trump. So it adds fuel to the fire of the leftist propaganda narrative. Because they're going to say this matter, this proves this is serious enough to warrant a special counsel. I think it's basically a good thing for CYA on the Republicans' part. We're covering ourselves. We're getting somebody independent. You can't say this is partisan. We're covering up. But the Dems will twist it. The media, the liberals will twist it into, no, this proves that there is something there. And even if nothing does arise, they will claim it does. I think it's time we stop pretending that the left cares about being fair. They will do whatever they can to destroy Trump. And that includes, even if there's nothing further and there's not been any evidence adduced about this yet, as you pointed out, no evidence of Russian and Trump collusion, they'll continue to fabricate this narrative.
Danielle McLaughlin.
I agree with David and Jay that the appointment of the special prosecutor is absolutely the right thing to do. You know, Bob Mueller's reputation is, you know, his character is absolutely unimpeachable. And so if there is any there, I think that if there is any there, he'll find it. And Democrats and Republicans are not going to be able to call him a partisan on the basis of what he finds. I will say that, obviously representing the left on this call, there are some real concerns that we're not going to call media hysteria, that the president is possibly obstructing justice and has also brought into his administration people who are at the service of foreign governments. And I'm obviously talking about Michael Flynn and the fact that he was taking money from Turkey at the time that he was exposed to all of America's secrets and was, in fact, making decisions based upon, in some respects, Turkish interests around ISIS and the Kurds. So we have real concerns. I think Mueller's a great choice. I don't think his relationship with Comey is problematic. They both stood up to Alberto Gonzalez and Andy Card back in 2004 when they tried to reauthorize the Bush, the NSA warrantless wiretapping.
But I got to tell you something.
Of great integrity.
And I'll go to Jay Sekulow, but I think the president is right. The handling, we know that James Comey ignored felonies committed by Hillary as it relates to our email server. And we definitely, if he wanted a Russia collusion story, it was there at the Clinton Foundation with pay-to-play uranium and her signing off on her own as Secretary of State to allow that deal to happen, even as people involved in that deal were given money to that foundation. And it is amazing to me that this double standard exists. Here's my question. You've got the deep state, you've got the media, you got the Democrats, you got weak Republicans, and you've got never Trumpers all seemingly wanting to destroy this president, Jay Sekulow. Am I wrong? Am I overstating the facts here, or is this a real danger to the president?
No, I don't think it's a real danger to the president, but I think your fact is correct in that there is an all-out assault. I mean, and with due respect to Danielle, I mean, this idea that the president, if he had that conversation with Comey, and again, you know, Comey's not exactly a credible witness. This is a guy that's had to correct his testimony on two different occasions to the United States Congress, and most recently right before he got fired, on a very significant misstatement. In fact, let me reiterate that. On a huge overstatement if you are a Democrat, you should be thrilled that Donald Trump fired him. This is a man that intervened in an election and said that their FBI had to work diligently over the weekend to pour through tens of thousands of emails that Huma Abedin, an aide to the Secretary of State, the Democrat nominee, sent to Anthony Weiner, only to correct himself 5 months later that instead of tens of thousands, it may have been a couple. So this is a guy that doesn't understand what truth is. Now, having said that, we've got a process in place now. now let the process play out. I think that the Senate and the House oversight is going to go off, and they'll still try to do their thing. But it changes a lot when you've got a special counsel that's now in charge, because how witnesses cooperate all changes. That's been engaged. The Democrats should now go do their job, and let's get legislation passed. Same thing to the Republicans, and the hysteria should stop. Having said that, Sean, we are in, you said it, we are in a battle. This is a long-term battle.
And David Limbaugh, say this. For those that went out there and were so energized during the campaign and they wanted Trump's agenda and they want these things to happen and they want the country to stop its precipitous decline, what I'm saying to them now is you better understand they're doing everything they can do to not only just delegitimize him, but prevent him from enacting his agenda. So if you really don't want them stealing the success that you had in the election, you better get involved. You better understand the stakes are that high.
No question. And we have to understand that just because there is this special counsel, it doesn't mean the media will stop. I have to reiterate that because it is a fact. It's a truism. It's so true. And you mentioned a minute ago there's no danger to Donald Trump, but there is a danger to his agenda. And that's what they're about. They're about obstructing his agenda that the people voted into place. You're right also. Comey ignored felonies of Hillary. But the media didn't care, did they? The media never said a thing about it because they're just agenda-oriented. And I want to say something also respectfully to Danielle. There's been no evidence of obstruction of any kind, no tampering of witnesses or jurors, no interfering with the administration of justice. True, all this is going to play out. But the facts don't matter to the Democrats. We are in a war. It's not just a battle. It's a war. And it's a war for the direction of this country. And the Democrats and the liberals want to continue Obama's fundamental transformation of America, i.e. destruction of America as we know it. And the Trump forces want to stop it. And we have got to get behind him. And the conservatives who are lackluster about this and the Never Trumpers have got to separate the media's misconduct from Trump's missteps, and they've got to support him when he's being abused like this.
Danielle?
Yeah, no, David, you explain this to the world as if this is Donald Trump under siege, but Donald Trump is in a pickle of his own making. This is somebody who is threatening Sally Yates over Twitter. He is threatening Jim Comey over Twitter about tapes.
Yeah, he does some things that are
a loyalty pledge. We will find out if that is true, because I guarantee you there's a memo on it. And if I'm wrong and if it isn't true, that's fantastic for the future of this country, because none of us want a president who is asking for a loyalty pledge to an FBI director. The FBI director serves at the pleasure, of course, of the president, but is loyal to the
Do you agree with me?
What is
hang on 1 second. We got to take a break. I want to pick it up when we get there about loyal to the where's the fidelity of the FBI director to the rule of law, equal justice under the law and the Constitution? We'll get to that as we continue. All right, so I recently gave my home a facelift. I did it the simplest way possible. That's right, brand new custom blinds from Blinds.com. They have the best, biggest names, blind shades, shutters, and drapes. And Blinds.com just transformed my home. It doesn't break the bank. Now, with Blinds.com, you always get free online design consultation. You fire up your webcam, your iPhone, your iPad, and a design consultation will take place with a professional, or you can send them pictures of your house, and you can send in color samples of your walls and your fabric, and guess what? They'll send back custom recommendations from another professional. And by the way, what other company offers that type of service? That's all for free, and free color samples. And the best part is, every order gets free shipping. Their prices, no store can beat Blinds.com. Now, let's say you make a mistake, you mismeasure, or you pick the wrong color, for crying out loud. Well, no worries. Let not your heart be troubled. They'll remake your blinds for free. And now through May the 24th, on top of their already low savings, they're offering 40% off on select brands of Blinds.com, and you'll save an additional 5% if you use the promo code Hannity. Blinds.com, promo code Hannity, 40% off their already low prices. Using my name gets you an additional 5% discount. Blinds.com, promo code Hannity.
Next, our final roundup and information overload hour.
right, as we continue our discussion, obviously we have a lot to talk about as it relates to these unprecedented attacks against the president. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel, American Center for Law and Justice. David Limbaugh, author of the New York Times bestseller just out, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. Danielle McLaughlin, attorney, constitutional expert. All right, so let me ask all three of you. Jay, you agree with me. David, I think you agree with me. Hillary Clinton committed multiple felonies as it relates to the email server scandal, and there certainly is grounds for a grand jury to hear evidence as it relates to the pay-to-play scheme as and Uranium One. Do you both agree with that before I get to Danielle?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Jay?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you and I have talked about this for months. I mean, how they didn't panel a grand jury, nobody understands.
Danielle? Do you see it the same way?
I'm not sure that I've seen evidence of either of those things. And one thing I can certainly speak to as it relates to Comey's decision after Loretta Lynch recused herself was the notion of intent. And the intent with the email server did not rise to the level of criminality. I mean, we're hearing stories this week, last week, about the Trump transition team copying classified materials and moving them offsite. That is, you know, a classic violation of the laws around this kind of information. So I don't see the intent. But if I did see the intent, I would say prosecute to the full extent of the law.
Well, I mean...
Well, it'd be good to start with the grand jury. I mean, Danielle, you'd have to acknowledge there was enough with the server being held in an inappropriate place and the transition of documents that you would at least start with a grand jury. I mean, you and I both know that's how you start.
Plus, the intent is not, as you lawyers know, this isn't about intent to do wrongdoing. It's intent to commit the acts that constitute the crime. And she clearly did.
In fact, one of them was not even intent to... You don't even have to have the mens rea of normal criminality. Gross negligence is the standard for the criminality on the one statute.
Which Comey said she committed.
Well, he used the word extreme recklessness. Is there any difference? I don't think so. Is there any difference between extreme recklessness and the gross negligence legal term from your perspective, Danielle?
It's a really fine line.
Is it a fine line or is it the same thing?
It's a very, very fine line. And this was a very close call, and what Hillary Clinton did as it related to that private server was completely inappropriate. And I've never
Isn't it wrong to destroy 33,000 emails? Isn't it wrong to put a server in a mom-and-pop shop bathroom? Isn't it wrong to have top-secret classified documents, special access program documents on a server in a mom-and-pop shop bathroom that we're 99% convinced that five foreign entities got a hold of? All of those things are crimes. And with all due respect, liberals like yourself, you don't want to admit it.
The 30,000 emails were deleted by somebody in contravention of a litigation hold. So that was done by a third party.
Somebody.
In contravention of somebody.
Her lawyers. Was done by her lawyers. That's called obstruction of justice. Jay, right?
Yes. I mean, this isn't, to me, this part is not even a close call. The idea that they're saying the president has a conversation with James Comey and allegedly says, whatever the phrase was. It was something innocuous. Let it go. First of all, does everybody realize the president could pardon everybody right now today? He has the constitutional authority to do that.
That's right.
He could say, I'm pardoning him, everybody.
Yeah,
so this is not obstruction of justice.
I gotta leave it there.
It's not obstruction. Okay.
And I appreciate you being with us. By the way, David's new book is up on Hannity.com, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. Jay, thank you. Danielle, thank you. When we come back, news roundup, information overload.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was just completely, totally, absolutely impossible to suspect that Vladimir Putin orchestrated what happened in Syria this week so that his friend in the White House could have a big night with missiles and all of the praise he's picked up over the last 24 hours? Wouldn't it be so nice if you couldn't even in your wildest dreams imagine a scenario like that?
I'll say it again. This Russian connection just keeps building, and every time it builds and expands, you have to wonder if Trump himself isn't worried about what's swirling around under the covers.
CNN has learned new details of the FBI investigation into potential links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government.
Specifically, Willie, I think what it means is that a federal judge found that people in Trump's organization were colluding with the Russians.
Welcome back. You're watching MSNBC. I'm Stephanie Ruhle. The calls are growing for the ouster of President Trump. Another member of Congress wants him impeached.
Is that potentially
impeachable if it's an obstruction of justice?
I think we're going to have to look into it a little bit further. We'll...
You were saying that this could lead down the road to impeachment, but we weren't anywhere near that yet. Does this breaking news tonight change your view on that?
Are we getting closer and closer to the possibility of yet another impeachment process?
Reluctantly, Wolf, I have to say yes.
Is it an impeachable offense if, in fact, the president obstructed justice?
So in terms of impeachment, are you taking action, working with Republicans, or doing anything that would actually move that agenda forward?
Do you harbor any hopes that you will find a conservative legal mind to match your desire to proceed with impeachment?
I think he can be looked at and perhaps even charged with obstruction of justice. I think that...
So you mean impeachment proceedings?
I beg your pardon?
You mean impeachment proceedings. Impeachment originates in the House. House leadership and the Republican Party has shown no interest in that and seems like it's the furthest thing from their mind. You think that's going to change?
Are you suggesting that President Trump should face impeachment?
No, I'm not suggesting that.
Saying that the evidence they're looking at right now, if they get it, is serious business. This is going to be an obstruction of justice charge, an article of impeachment, basically.
Congressman, what is your case for impeachment?
But now we're talking impeachment. Do you think this is a bridge too far?
Yeah. What do you think of this impeachment possibility? What's more needed to prove obstruction of justice than the president fires the guy coming after him after asking to drop the case? What more do you need?
Is that the impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't...
It's the only remedy.
Yeah, there's growing talk, at least, about impeachment within your party. You have Congresswoman Maxine Waters, you have Congressman Al Green, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, all talking about impeachment for this president.
You heard Jeffrey Toobin say it would be an obstruction of justice, and potentially, as you know, Senator, that could be impeachable. That could be an impeachable offense.
I must say, I was in the Nixon administration, as you know, and I thought, after watching the Clinton impeachment, I thought I'd never see another one. But I think we're in impeachment territory now.
Really?
For the first time.
The word impeachment has been brought to the fore, and I have heard it come out of your mouth. On what grounds are you concerned that we might need to use that word?
We already nailed down the fact he fired the guy afterwards for not playing ball with him. There's a lot of evidence here. It seems to me it would take a reasonable person in the direction of perhaps wanting more information, but clearly we're on the trail there to an impeachment.
Impeachment! Impeachment! Conspiracy! The Russians did it, and now we have a special counsel, and, you know, none of these things are... The president's not getting impeached over this. It's just not going to happen. I don't see it happening. If there's new evidence that emerges, I will change my mind and open my mind. But as of now, but this is the media pushing. Again, five enemies of the president. You've got the deep state. You got the media. I'll do it in order of importance. The deep state and the leaks against the president, unprecedented, beyond dangerous for every man, woman, and child, because that means your government spies on you and can release information to destroy you, your life, your career. And there seems to be no repercussions for this because, again, Comey didn't do his job and enforce the law or have equal justice under the law. And then we got the media. They're advancing the narrative. Sharks are circling. Delegitimizing the president with lies and conspiracy theories. Then, of course, you got the Democrats. They've been saying impeachment from day one. They still can't get over Hillary lost. And to a lesser extent, weak Republicans. Well, you know, I didn't want to be blamed for a government shutdown. I want to be the first to show I'm fair. And then, of course, the never Trumpers. They're kind of in the same spot as the weak establishment Republicans. News roundup, information overload. Rick Unger is the senior political contributor at Forbes.com, co-host of Steele and Unger, Sirius XM. Jonathan Gillum, host of The Experts, Navy SEAL, former FBI agent, federal air marshal. Welcome all of you to the program. Do you see impeachment here, or do you... Let me ask you this. When you watch your favorite liberal TV shows, Rick, do you put on your tinfoil conspiracy hat and say the Russians are coming and the Martians are coming?
Well, I watch all kinds of different TV shows. So if I had to switch hats for which network I was watching, I'd have to own too many hats.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you this. You're watching this. There's nothing here that's impeachable, but the media goes in that direction. The media races in that direction, just like they've been racing. Can you cite any evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign at this point?
The only thing that I'm aware of is what everybody else is aware of, and that is that we have 17 intelligence agencies who appear
been debunked. It's only three.
That
it's been debunked 100,000 times inside. What do I have to give you all of your research?
Apparently you do, because I have a tendency to keep up.
No, that's a talking point that has been debunked.
Let's do it your way. Let's say that there are three. okay? That, to me, makes a suggestion of something that says I should pay attention. Doesn't mean that anybody did anything. To me, look, I'm a lawyer, and I can't get over my legal training and how it works. I've heard a lot of suggestions of evidence in any number of fronts. But right now, that's all they are, because there are requirements for evidence. And until that evidence is produced, not just by somebody telling a reporter, and that isn't to say that reporter's not legitimate, because a lot of these reporters are very legitimate, but until that evidence is made available, making it the best evidence, if you're jumping to conclusions, that's all you're doing, and all a lot of media is doing right now is just filling time by things that will get people ratings. On my radio show, nobody has called for anybody's impeachment.
Well, you're one of more reasonable people, and I don't even think I should have you on anymore, because every time I put you in a corner about your liberal brethren, well, that's them and not me. That's them and not me. And
well,
which makes you
objective.
Well, you're smarter because you have a little more media savvy, because this does have the potential, Jonathan Gillum. You know, let me give you one example. I'm watching very closely the death of Seth Rich. He's the 27-year-old DNC staffer. And he's the kid that they've been saying now that, in fact, he got robbed. And they shot him in the back, except they forgot his wallet and his money and his phone and his watch. That doesn't sound like a robbery to me. In all your years investigating things, that sound like a robbery to you?
That sounds like a hit to me, is what that sounds like. I know it sounds conspiratorial to a lot of people, but considering the fact that the timing in which he supposedly leaked this information to WikiLeaks and the position that he was in, and the fact that nothing was taken, it's just strange. But Sean, here's the thing that's even more strange to me. Why, if there is even an inkling of evidence of something like Mr. Rich being killed, of any of these real things that have bones, where people are dying and things are happening, why is there no investigation into that stuff? Why is it
there is
continuously
let's
go
let's,
after?
You know, you're both playing with something, and I got to say.
Well, wait, before we play with something, let me give you a piece of the puzzle before you dig a hole and out of friendship.
I've stayed on top of this investigation.
Well, so have I. All right, but let me play Julian Assange. Now, I interviewed Assange a number of times on radio, and you know I went down there to London January, and I asked him if it was the Russians. Now, keep in context, you can believe or not believe Julian Assange, but he's never been wrong in terms of WikiLeaks and what they've revealed in 11 years. So they have some track record of a lot of credibility. New York Times even publishes their stuff. But when I asked him if it's the Russians, he says this.
Our source is not the Russian government.
So in other words, let me be clear. Russia did not give you the Podesta documents or anything from the DNC.
That's correct.
Now, he goes on Dutch TV, and this is what he says in this interview talking about Seth Rich.
Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
that was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
what are you suggesting? What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources are.
But why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States, and that our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. That's basically what you're doing.
Well, that others have suggested that we are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it. And more importantly, a variety of WikiLeaks sources are concerned when that kind of thing happens.
Okay, so you're going to admit with me and Jonathan that was not a robbery. It looks like a hit. It looks like a murder. You agree, right?
What I'm going to do is apply the same evidence rules I applied to the other things we just talked about. Let's really talk about this. I have been interested in this. There is evidence out there, and I wish that the computer that's sitting on a shelf at the Washington, D.C. police station would be released, because I think it very well could show that this poor young man was in communication with WikiLeaks. Here's what I really want to know from you guys. I have been keeping on top of this for a year. Sean, I know you were very involved with it for a a couple of weeks, about a year ago. Why is it that all of a sudden, and I'm thrilled, I hope this investigation is reopened, because my spidey sense tells me there is something more to this. But I got to tell you something. I think it's being discredited because all of a sudden it comes out of nowhere. Nothing new has happened in this case.
But it because
Trump has trouble around.
No, it's not that at all. It's because it's now percolating, and as if we're, I actually believe, and this is a theory, I can't back it up at this point, that Seth Rich, I'm guessing, was a person of great principle. And I have a strong instinct that tells me, and time will tell if I'm right or wrong, but based on the news, I'm giving my best educated guess here. All right, quick break. We'll come back. And as we continue, News Roundup and Information Overload Hour here on The Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. By the way, bottom of the hour, we're going to look at the status of the president's tax cut economic plan and changes to the tax laws. All right, so we're talking about Seth Rich, and it's interesting. You have an open mind that it could, in fact, be somebody that saw the corruption. You do agree that the DNC screwed Bernie Sanders. You don't have any doubts about that, do you?
No, I have always agreed with that.
And by the way, isn't it kind of crappy the Democrats act that way? That's pretty awful. If I'm a Bernie supporter.
You know what? Politicians act that way, and political organizations act that way. I could give you tons of examples from the other side. They all screw up. And
well, I don't know. I mean,
rigged it against Bernie. There's no question.
If I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, I think I got screwed royally. Jonathan?
Well, I actually never was a Bernie Sanders supporter, but I will still tell you, because it's true, he did get screwed.
And they basically stole the nomination from him. What does that say about the Democratic Party and their ethics?
I don't know that you can go that far and say they stole the nomination from him. It's like saying that Donald
well, they
Trump
put the fix. How about this? They put the fix in. So, they put the fix in so he couldn't win.
What they did was they did things like schedule debates when they were afraid of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, during
like
football
Christmas
games.
Christmas Eve, you know?
Christmas Eve and football games.
Nobody would possibly watch it. That's putting your thumb on the scale.
But it's more than that. I mean, the superdelegates gave the whole story away early on, and the fix was in, Jonathan, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, listen, here's the thing. I'm traveling all around the country talking to people right now. And what I can tell you is that the American people see through all this, and they see the games that are played in politics. They see what's going on with the DNC, even with the RNC. They're seeing it. And I think that is a big thing that we have to realize. You know, we all exist in New York City, and we live in there, and we live in the media. But the American people, as soon as you step out of the city, they're actually quite aware of all this stuff that's going on. And they are educated. They're seeing this. Sean, they listen to you everywhere I go. People are talking about how you're one of the only voices of truth on television anymore and on the radio.
Where are you going?
They're going to the same Googles. They're going to the same internet. And they're getting, as people that live in the city, but they're not balled up in a city where they're controlled. And where everybody's liberal, so they're free thinkers. And they see this stuff. And I'm not saying it's not important, but the people see through it and they see the games that are being played. And it's infuriating to them.
Well, listen, I'm telling you that I'm saying to anybody that voted for Trump, and you see the deep state, and you see the media, and you see Democrats, weak Republicans, and never Trumpers, they all want his presidency to die. They want to stop it. And I'm saying if you voted for Trump for his agenda, now's the time to fight back. I think there's going to be a backlash, Rick Unger, and I think you probably agree with me. I think they've overreached.
I actually don't. I have a feeling this is going to go places where even you and I aren't thinking about, but I don't know that. I really don't.
And what if what if the Seth Rich comments, let's say, would that be a game changer against all Democrats? Quick.
No.
No?
No,
because the Russian narrative dies.
Let me answer. If it turns out that there's more to the Seth Rich thing, and I hope that you do accomplish, I mean this, getting that investigation back open. It's been closed for quite a while now, and I thought it was prematurely closed. If they can get that investigation back open, whatever comes of it, comes of it. That doesn't mean that all Democrats had something to do with it. It does mean that there may be somebody that did have something to do with it that needs to be prosecuted. We'll see what happens. But I do think that it's a mistake that this conflation that's going on between the problems that are surrounding the president right now and what may have.
All right, I got to run.
For young kids.
If I don't let Jonathan, now you're on tour, Jonathan. How can people go and see you?
They can go to my Facebook page, Jonathan T. Gilliam, and I'm going to be in Detroit, just outside of Detroit, speaking to a GOP group on Friday, and then making my way back across to New York City to to host your show. And then in June, I'm going to go back out on the road.
All right, Jonathan Gillum, thank you. And Rick Unger, always a pleasure.
Yeah, you want to ask about tax reform?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You guys are the best.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Regarding tax reform, there's some folks who think it could slip beyond this year. Where are you at this point?
No, I don't think that's the case. Our goal, and I feel very confident we can meet this goal, is calendar year 2017 for tax reform. And I think we're making good progress.
All right, that was Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. I'm told there's only on the calendar some 42 legislative days left. And that means that the health care bill has to make its way through the Senate and then through conference with the House and then vote again in the House and the Senate. And then the president's economic plan has to go forward, of course, and of course, is tax reform. And that means 7-3. That means repatriation of multi-corporation trillions at 10%. That means hopefully a corporate tax rate from one of the highest in the industrialized world to one of the lowest at around 15%. That means that a lot of work has to be done between now and then. And joining us to tell us if they're on track to get this done is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Congressman Kevin Brady, is with us. Congressman, how are you, sir? Welcome back to the program. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, is 42 days about right in the legislative calendar?
Yes, somewhere there. But let me just tell you this. Tax reform is President Trump's top priority. We're going to deliver on that this year. And while there may be a few legislative days, we are working nights, weekends, every day on delivering on tax reform, the boldest tax reform since President Reagan.
Well, I think it's great. And why are you so confident? Why do I keep seeing, well, they may have to wait till next year, was one of the articles on Drudge today.
Yeah. You know what this is? The same noise you see in Washington every day, especially today, is the same noise they're counting on to disrupt our Republican and conservative agenda. And so we are just staying laser focused on our priorities, especially tax reform. And I'll tell you, to President Trump's credit, his tax team, Secretary of Treasury and Director of Economic Council, is staying laser focused with us as well. And so we met again yesterday. Our teams will meet again tomorrow. So in the hearing we held today, Sean, I wish every American could have seen it, because here's these job creators, including family-owned businesses, saying they are getting killed. Their best customers are leaving the country, moving their plants and jobs to other countries. The tax rate is the worst in the world. They can no longer invest in their business and community with confidence. And their message was, go bold, go permanent so we can count on it, and do it now.
And I heard that it's going to even go out longer than 10 years. Is that true?
Yeah, I think, look, if you want the greatest growth for the greatest number of years, so follow the Reagan example. Make it bold, make it permanent, and make it balanced within the budget, but counting on really good, strong economic growth. That's what works.
All right, let me ask you this question. Are you convinced at the end of this legislative year, because I'm going to be very blunt here.
Yes, sir.
If Republicans don't fund the wall so that by November 2018, there's not a couple of hundred miles of that wall that people can actually see. If Republicans don't get the health care bill done and the president signing that bill, if the president don't get if the Congress doesn't get the tax reform that you're talking about and the president's economic plan put in place, there's no way at all. It's not possible that there won't be major damage in the 2018 elections.
I agree. We have to.
Does Paul Ryan understand this?
Yeah. No. Yes, he is, and which is the reason he's pushing us and leading so hard on tax reform as well. And I'm confident we're going to get those things done. Look, this is, Sean, this is why we came here. We asked to have to lead all these branches of government, and so we got to deliver on our promises.
Yeah, well, I think the average person that voted for the president, and we're all watching now the deep state, and we're watching the media.
Yeah.
And by the way, if we don't fix the deep state, I don't think any president can govern, because they'll get to decide who they like and who they don't like. And then the media with their feeding frenzy insanity. And then you couple it with Democrats that can't get over that Hillary lost, and then weak Republicans that, well, they were the ones afraid of a government shutdown. And they're like, well, maybe we need, you know, and they just, with no facts or evidence, they just go off unhinged, people like McCain. And then you've got, you know, never Trumpers that want to hurt the president and his credibility. I mean, it's getting really toxic beyond anything I've ever seen.
It is tough. And look, if you're going to shake things up, this is what you're going to experience. What you need is, especially among us as House Republicans, you need us to back him up and move these big game-changing things forward. And I'm just telling you, every Republican in the House, every day, ask, are we going to get this done? How can I help? So, look, I'm optimistic about this.
All right. Congressman Kevin Brady, I guess you got to run into a vote, so you got to roll. Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, we're looking for that committee to give us the tax reform that the president's been pushing. If we're going to have economic growth, this economic plan first has to be implemented. One of the key issues for this president and his success, and if the House and Senate don't get their job done and fulfill this promise, that they'll pay the political price for it. End of sentence. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Bambi is in Indianapolis, Indiana, next on the Sean Hannity Show. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, Sean. Oh, my gosh. I'm a huge fan of your show.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Your kind words mean a lot.
Well, thank you. And I also, I mean, obviously, I wanted to talk to you, and then I heard the news about Mr. Ailes today, and I'm so sorry, and I send my deepest regards to you and his family.
That's really nice of you. I will say this, and I predicted it. I sent out my statement earlier this morning. I tweeted it out as soon as I heard about the passing. He was the founder, CEO, chairman of the Fox News Channel, and the guy that picked me out of obscurity in Atlanta, Georgia, and gave me the shot of a life. And you know, my life has been transformed in ways that I never dreamed of. And he had this uncanny ability to see things in people that I know in my case I didn't see myself. I have no idea why he hired me and why he didn't fire me, as I said earlier. But he transformed for five decades political and the politics of this country and the media of this country. And if you're a conservative, it's for the better. Because can you imagine life now without Fox News? Without talk radio? Kind of unimaginable.
If it wasn't for you and Fox News, I don't think I'd ever watch the news anymore, because I'm just so disheartened by how biased and hateful they are. And I've found that I'm a huge conservative. I grew up dirt poor. My mom preached, you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat. And I converted my mother to vote for the first time in her life Republican Donald Trump this year, and I was so proud.
Oh, good for you. All right, well, listen, God bless you. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want the agenda that you voted for in November, now you've got to engage in the fight. That's my message to anybody that wants to listen. They're trying to destroy the president. It's beyond delegitimizing him now. Now they want to stop him completely in his tracks and do anything they can do, say anything they can say to remove him from office. MJ is in Florida next. MJ, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Semper Fi. How you doing?
Hey, Semper Fidelis. Maureen, what's going on?
Listen, your show yesterday, especially the first block, and then last night, your opening monologue. Forget even about drain the swamp. He needs to go in there, and he has to clean house in one fell swoop what he needs to do. And just do it all at once, so then they can't pick on him every day about it. Just do it once. They won't be able to keep their heads from spinning. I am so tired of most Republicans, who they have no cojones whatsoever. Like the Representative Joe Wilson that time that yelled out, you're a liar to Obama during about the Obamacare. Every single Republican should have clapped or stood up and agreed, because they knew it was wrong, and they knew why they were also put in, Congress and the Senate with the whole Tea Party movement. But also, when the Democrats were singing the, na-na-na song, hey, hey, goodbye,
yeah,
the Republicans should turn around and sing, yeah, oh, yeah, well, we will rock you. I don't understand. Fight
what are we gonna
fire
have?
With fire.
We're going to have dueling karaoke on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives? I don't think I want to hear any of them sing, to be honest. I want to see them do their job. This is an amazing thing. MJ.
Their job is to protect the president and his agenda and their constituents, which, if you look at the electoral map, I think we won. I might be a little confused. Maybe California and New York we're going to have a problem with. But they're going to have a problem in 2018. okay? And I understand they don't want to be disrespectful and they're conservatives and all that. I'm a Christian myself. I know you're a Catholic, okay? But there are tons of Bible verses like, you know, Ephesians 6:10, 6:20, put on the armor of God.
I kind of consider myself,
Lord, you know?
I'm a more of a Christian. So I'm
okay. Well, I mean, I.
By the way,
know,
I'm the one that needs forgiveness. I agree. I think. Listen, there is a time to stand and to fight for what you believe in, and you know what? So many of us that were irredeemable deplorables, it's time to put your armor back on, like we're back in campaign mode because they're trying to destroy them. And if you want, look, 42 days. What's frustrating to me? It's May 18th for crying out loud. Half the year isn't over, and they've got 42 days left. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That is hardly a lot of time to accomplish all that they said that they would get done. Remember, I interviewed Paul Ryan, 200 days, 200 days. Well, okay, 200 days are coming to an end really quick. And they don't seem to be in have a sense of urgency that I know I have in my life. All right, 800-941. Sean, Ted is in San Diego, News Radio 600, Kogo Radio. What's up, Ted? How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Thank you. Thanks for your patriotism and all you do.
Thank you.
Discussion of communication, obviously a weakness right now. We were talking about the press corps, and I believe that that could be one of the key strategic changes. If we took the press corps and looked at that as a tool to turn it around, turn the tables on the press, it'd be a bit of a sucker punch, but basically bring in somebody who's got a lot of charisma, who loves dealing with the press, who understands the war we're in, and really start working with the press one-on-one in that press corps, taking a lot more time, maybe even revamp the room itself, make it more of a town hall-type forum.
I'll tell you two people I would bring in, and the one that I would have in charge of the whole agenda is Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, you know,
And I'll tell you the other person I'd bring in for communications is Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee's an awesome communicator.
Yeah, and he would take the time. He would dissect. He would basically expose the brainwashers that are in that group and the brainwashed. He would flush out the actual journalists and actually develop a rapport and a relationship. The transparency would increase. People would love it. I think it would be an amazing thing. And I think a lot more time could be spent in those briefings, you know, upwards of 3 to 4 hours, half a day for at least the first couple of months. Flush out all the garbage that's going on. It would revolutionize the tool that's being used against the president and use it basically against the people that are corrupt in that room who have an agenda. They'd be exposed really quickly, and I think it would work very well. Can I throw one more idea at you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, I just want to echo what you're saying. I wouldn't be on the phone with you today if I didn't believe that you're sounding a legitimate alarm. And to your audience, you know, Sean Hannity is not a man who talks about shadow government or panics. He's very sound-minded and very steady. And you're telling us that right now is the time to fight, and I absolutely agree. And I'm using my social media as sensibly and intelligently as possible to sway people that I know. And I'm using conversations and time, and I'm getting involved. And I'm not hitting the snooze button anymore, Sean. I'm awake, and I would encourage everybody listening, wake up, get moving. It's time. Totally agree with you. Thank you.
You got to fight. I mean, right now, look, here's the thing. If they're successful, these five groups that I'm identifying as trying to take Trump down, then that means what you fought for and what you voted for and the change you wanted isn't going to happen. And they're trying to take it from you. And they're trying to take it through lies and dishonesty and deceit and frankly, the use and abuse of power at a level I've never seen in my life. So if you want your agenda now, you better re-engage. Every irredeemable deplorable, you better get engaged because otherwise they'll be successful. Look, the worst case scenario for them is that they so muddy the waters and so delegitimize Donald Trump, the president, that there's no way that he can get his agenda through. Because that's when the weakness of the Republicans kicks in. Well, I wouldn't want to be seen with them. I mean, you know, they may run against me and say I like him. And they're only concerned about their own power. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Hope you'll join us. All right, I got a killer monologue. You know what the president tweeted? Yeah, all the illegal acts of Hillary and the Obama administration, not one special counsel. Why is there this double standard? And by the way, you support the president, you better, if you're an irredeemable deplorable, you better be willing to fight for him against the deep state and the media and Democrats and weak Republicans and never Trumpers. Herman Cain tonight, Jay Sekulow, Corey Lewandowski checks in tonight. And remembering Roger Ailes gave me the opportunity of a lifetime. 10 Eastern, Hannity tonight. Thanks for being with us. Back here tomorrow.